And welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Too often, it feels like progress moves too slowly in our nation, especially for those who are most marginalized among us. But in the last decade, the pace has picked up in some ways, and it has felt like real progress has been happening more quickly, especially for members of the LGBTQ plus community. The Supreme Court guaranteed the right for same-sex couples to get married, no matter where they live. And there are states and local governments that have added legal protections that members of that community have never enjoyed. There's also been more representation and acceptance of gay and queer individuals all across our culture. Take a look at media or television or movies, and you can't help but notice the normalcy now that attends the idea of being LGBTQ+. But of course, progress always meets with resistance, right? And so now we're seeing the progress that the LGBTQ plus community has experienced, challenged by a number of regressive legislative ideas all across the country. We're still at war, really, to make sure that people can be treated equally, can be treated fairly, won't be singled out for who they are by the law in our country. In Florida, for instance, the state legislature passed a bill that restricts discussion of gender and sexuality in school, and it is aimed at the idea that there's something wrong with talking about being something other than heterosexual to children. The bill is dubbed by its opponents the, quote, "Don't Say Gay" bill, and it's likely to be signed into law soon by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida's not alone. There are lots of places where people are trying to contort education, literature, all parts of our culture in a way that denies the equality for that community. So what does that mean for this community and our ability to create a more perfect union, the ability to expand the franchise of freedom that we take for granted here in the United States? That's where we begin the conversation today. And we've got a perfect guest to lead us in that conversation. Dave Garcia is executive director of Affirmations, which is Michigan's largest LGBTQ plus community center. Dave, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen.
So first, let's start with your reaction to this bill in Florida that would restrict discussion of gender and sexuality in schools. It's just the latest, as I said, in the pushback against, I think, the progress that we've seen over the last decade. But there is something particularly pernicious, I think, about the effort here and the specifics in this bill.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you hit it on the head, though, earlier when you said that there is a pushback right now toward the LGBTQ community, and that because of progress, and that we've seen that historically, every time we make two steps forward, we get pushed one step back, but that is still progress. Bills like what we're seeing in Texas and Florida and really all over the country are real threats to the LGBTQ community. I have said many times, for example, that the religious exemption bills that we see popping up all over the country are the biggest threat to the LGBT community since HIV/AIDS. And while some people may think that we are talking about wedding cakes or wedding photographers, and while that is a part of it, what we are really talking about here are doctors refusing to treat the LGBTQ community and hiding behind their religious beliefs, or therapists refusing to see the LGBT community in colleges and hiding behind their religious beliefs. Just a couple of years ago here in Detroit, you had a pediatrician refusing to treat a baby because that baby's parents were lesbians and hiding behind their religious beliefs. And so whether it's the religious exemptions or the Don't Say Gay bill or the attacks on the trans community across the country, we see every single day the real threats and challenges toward our community. Let's take the trans community. The trans community, especially women, trans women of color, are being murdered at rates that can only be described as an epidemic, more than 70 last year alone. It's crazy. We read about it in the LGBTQ papers, but we don't see a lot about it in the straight media. Mm-hmm. The average life expectancy for a trans woman of color is 35 years old. And we've got to talk about those things and the violence against our community. But I do want to talk about the violence against our community, Stephen, but you are right to say that we are making progress. Just the other day, I was doing a training for all incoming Michigan State Police troopers on LGBTQ issues. I promise you, I've been doing this a long time. That would never have happened even 5 years ago. And so that is progress. And one of the things that we talked most about, by the way, was violence against the LGBTQ community, and particularly domestic violence in our community. Because too often, when a state trooper or a state police officer or a sheriff's department or whatever go to the front doors of a domestic violence situation for a same-sex couple, and it's two guys or two women, it's treated like, oh, it's just a fight, where the same power dynamics can exist. The violence against the LGBTQ community, sexual violence, dating violence, domestic violence, is just as prevalent, if not more so, in our community than it is in the straight community. And we need to do a better job of training officers around the state to recognize it when they see it. Mm.
So, one of the ironies, I think, is that all of this pushback against the progress that we've seen for the LGBTQ plus community is happening as public support for laws protecting that community is higher than ever. There's a new survey from the Public Religion Research Institute that says nearly 8 in 10 Americans support laws that would protect LGBTQ plus people from discrimination in jobs and housing and public accommodations. And so I think this is a dynamic we see in terms of lots of different communities, that just as you're on that cusp of everybody kind of coming to the same idea of what equality means, you get this very exercised reaction. And maybe it's about fear, maybe it's about a sense of loss of control, but in some ways it suggests how close we are to the very idea of equality, let alone what the mechanisms for enforcing and protecting that equality might be.
That's a good point. I mean, let's just tell the truth. In the state of Michigan, for decades now, we have tried to amend the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Protection laws of the state of Michigan to include sexual orientation and gender identity. The governor has said that she will sign it if it gets to her desk, but it will not be allowed to even come to a hearing, much less a vote in both the House and in the Senate up in Lansing. The same can be said for the Equality Act on the national scale. The president has said he will sign it. It has passed Congress twice now to include sexual orientation and gender identity protections, and it stalls in the Senate. Because why? Because of conservative majorities who will not allow it to come to a hearing, much less a vote. But those are much older generation. And I know that in time, our youth will save us. Wow. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking with Dave Garcia, who is executive director of Affirmations, Michigan's largest LGBTQ community center. We're talking about the progress that we've seen over the last decade, in particular with regard to protections for the LGBTQ plus community, and the pushback that we're seeing against that progress. This bill in Florida in particular that is aimed at quashing even discussion of gender and equality issues in schools. We would love to hear from you during this conversation as well. What do you make of this recent wave of bills and laws and policies that are targeting LGBTQ plus Americans, including this one in Florida. What do you think of the idea that that we're so close to actually realizing the equality that's eluded us on this front for so long? We, of course, especially want to hear from you if you're a member of the LGBTQ plus community. What do these bills and laws mean to you and to your life? What would you expect to see from government to make your equality more cherished, more protected? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there. And you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Dave, I do want to talk more about this problem with violence and get you to talk a little more about what still remains to be done to lower those instances of violence, and what kind of efforts are being made, I guess, to help not just the police, but the other parts of our society that are there to help, to really understand what their role needs to be and how they should be playing it.
You know, there was a recent national study, speaking of violence and students in Florida, for example, there was a recent study that showed that students in grades 9 through 12, we found that 8.3% of heterosexual students and 17.5% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students reported physical dating violence. 9.1% of heterosexuals and 22.7% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students reported sexual dating violence one or more times during the 12 month prior to the survey that was taken. If we're not talking to young people about LGBTQ issues or how to recognize violence or make sure that they're not getting into dangerous situations, we're not doing our jobs as caretakers of our youth. And so when we see numbers in our community that are actually greater than the straight community when it comes to domestic violence, we need to do a better job as well. 44% of lesbian women and 61% of bisexual women experience rape, physical violence, stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime, compared to 35% of heterosexual women. There was a recent transgender survey which had more than 27,000 respondents, nearly half, Stephen, 47% of the respondents experienced sexual violence at some point in their lifetime, and 1 in 10 experienced sexual violence in the past year alone.
Wow.
And let me tell you, this is deeply personal for me. I have trained all over this country for many, many years on domestic violence. And I thought I was always saying the right things and doing my best. And then I got into a relationship that recently ended. And that person, whom I loved very much, went to jail and was sentenced this month. In fact, it's very fresh. And until you're really, you know, up against a wall or not being let out of a room, it's one thing to train on it. It's another thing to really experience it. And what nobody talks about in our community, we all talk about how to get help and how to get them out and all the needs that they're going to have. And no one talks about how you can still love that person, how deeply you can still love somebody and they still have to leave. And we don't talk about that much. And you know, I called the prosecutor the day before and I asked that my ex now, who I haven't seen for a while, that they get a plea bargain, that they don't have a record that follows them, still trying to protect them. And there's a no contact order in place right now. And I asked that be in place, honestly, even more for me, because I was worried I might let them back in.
Yeah.
So it is important that people in my community that are experiencing domestic violence, one, consider therapy. I had never seen a therapist once in my entire life. I don't know if that's because I was raised in a Latino family and there's a lot of machismo around therapy, but because of the breakup and because I was just so sad, I went and saw a therapist. And it was actually not only worth it, it was actually kind of cool to talk to somebody who's been in this field for, you know, 25, 30 years and can tell you experiences that they've seen from other couples, and just have a conversation with someone other than your family and friends. And so I strongly encourage folks, especially those of you who said, oh, I don't need therapy, I don't need to talk to a therapist. I was the same way. And I hope someone out there listening will say, hey, I'll give it a try, because what it can't hurt. And at Affirmations, we've hired our third full-time licensed therapist. And so you can call us if you need help on this issue or any issue that you're facing in the LGBTQ community. You can call Affirmations and you can talk to one of our therapists. 70% of LGBTQ survivors of domestic violence say that they would rather go to an LGBTQ specific program. And we don't have enough LGBTQ programs out there. And so we're trying here at Affirmations to expand our own programming for Southeast Michigan. But if you're out there and you're listening and you're in a bad situation, or you're just getting out of a bad situation, we're here to listen to you and to help you in any way that we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. Let's go to Sarah on the east side. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for focusing on this issue. This is so important. I'm a psychotherapist, and I specialize in working with LGBT and especially trans adolescents. And I'm so grateful for this conversation, because honestly, you know, the laws that are being passed or proposed around the country, the backlash that's happening right now is hurting kids so much. It's hurting families so much. And I think that people don't really realize that the effect of these don't say gay laws, these anti-trans sports participation laws, they're not going to make fewer kids gay and fewer kids trans. They're not going to make fewer queer kids. Mm-hmm. They're going to make fewer queer kids survive into adulthood. Mm. Because the rate of self-harm and suicide amongst LGBTQ youth is orders of magnitude higher than for the cisgender heterosexual population.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm really glad you called and made that point. I mean, when you talk about the cruelty that is powering these efforts, this pushback, that's you absolutely put your finger on it there. The idea that you are not going to create fewer members of this community, you're going to create fewer members of this community who actually survive. And it is that stark. It is that dire, Dave, right?
It is. And Sarah, I appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you very much for the work. But Stephen, the violence, you know, whether it is hate crimes, which continue to rise against our community, you know, we get threats a lot here at Affirmations, and we still get the protesters out front with their signs of God hates fags. And the city just had to put steel pipes, columns in front of our building because of threats that come to us every single day. And I know we're not alone in that. I know the Jewish community is facing similar things, the Asian community, the Muslim community. And we are working together with those groups to try to protect one another. The FBI has been here to do active shooter drills. We've got silent alarms throughout our building in case someone walks in with a gun. I mean, these are the things that we have to think about all the time. You know, we have seniors here. We have youth here. We have, we're a community center. And if somebody, you know, it just sucks that if somebody walks in with a gun here, what we're going to do to try to protect our seniors or our youth, you know, down at the lower level, or just name it. We face violence every day. But again, I don't want this to be a completely downer conversation. We are making significant progress, and I see so much hope and potential in the younger generations coming up. We got to do our best to keep them safe.
Yeah. Okay. Dave Garcia, Executive Director of Affirmations. It's always wonderful to have you here to talk about these issues. Thanks so much for joining us here on Detroit Today. Coming up, we're going to talk about the effort to make daylight savings time permanent and stop springing forward and falling back an hour. every 6 months. Are you in favor of this? Are you sick of losing an hour in the spring and gaining one in the fall, resetting all the clocks? We're going to talk with State Senator Jeff Irwin, a Democrat from Ann Arbor, who is sponsor of a bill to observe permanent daylight savings time here in Michigan. We'll hear why he thinks that's a great idea, and we'll hear from you about whether you agree next. Stay tuned for more Detroit Today.